Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord can save. Ooh, he can save. Save your soul. I tell you, through Jesus Christ, your life can be changed and made whole. He can bring everlasting joy and peace within your soul. Ooh. And in many ways, I feel just like that old man. Born in the country, raised on a farm. No money, no fancy clothes, no fine homes and cars. But thank God, mama and daddy raised me up on the real deal. And that's God Almighty. And sometimes when I sing about Jesus and people won't listen, I feel like I'm just a nobody.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I just am really, really happy today. I'm happy because the fact that God has given us his breath and strength to have another opportunity to come together to embrace what God has to offer for us. He satisfies our mouth with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And I'm not talking about just your physical youth, but everything that the locust took away, God would give us back, because he gives us his word. That is the good thing. That is the good news. Well, a good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. As the song says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who could save anybody. But we know in Christ we are somebody. And the scripture tells us always, is my favorite one to bring up, is in Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my word, incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life. They are life. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You want to be vaccinated? You can be vaccinated with God's word. God's word is the healing power. God's word is the life-changing power. God's word is the power that can be the difference, that makes a difference in your life. You know, I was thinking about it today when I was talking to some peers, and I said to them, you know, when he said, incline thy ears that I sing, you know, I was walking this morning, and I heard where I stay, there's a guy, I won't call him a guard, but basically he's an overseer at the gate. And so he's talking to another person. Well, I heard him about four or five houses down. I was like, well, are they arguing or something? And they were talking about the word of God. So when I came back through the gate a little later in the day, I said to Jim, I said, I heard y'all talking about God. He said, every day. See, when you become a part of God's world, your ears are immediately inclined to his word and his saying. You get that, it's like you all of a sudden you get this immediate instinct, like a dog or a German shepherd, and the ears go up. You just get fine-tuned to wanting to be closer to God, know more about God, and you have this when someone else is talking about God. Well, God's word is that good. It is that good. Well, again, I always like to start off with prayer, because I think that it is the key to opening up the door for us to have that direct communication with God. It is talking to God. We don't need the high priest beyond Christ Jesus, the great high priest, to go before us now. We can go boldly to the throne of God and talk to him. That is exciting news within itself. That should pump you up as an individual, because now you know you can go to the creator, the one who created us as his masterpiece. You can go directly to him. Well, let us go in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. Father God, you're such a wonderful God that you would sacrifice your only begotten Son for us, that he would be willing to die upon the cross and take upon his body our sins. Our sins, Father God. The things that we should be taking the punitive action for, Jesus was willing to do this. This shows the kind of God that truly is about love, who is love. And you're willing to display that and give us that, Father God. And then you sent your Son so we can see love in motion. Father God, you are truly love in its most splendid way. I thank you, Father God, for being who you are to us. When we were not worthy, we did not merit your grace, your mercy, and forgiveness, you gave it to us anyway, but we were yet sinners. Father God, for those out there who have not accepted you as a personal Lord and Savior, and to me, Father God, as I continue to walk this journey, oh, sometimes I'm on that walk and I'll slip and I'll fall, and sometimes I'm flat on my back. But every time I look up, I know you're going to raise me up to know that I can be an overcomer and I can finish the race. But some are not in the race because they have suffered trials, tribulations, pain, hurts, letdowns, and they, Father God, have lost their way. But I ask you, Father God, for those that don't know you, I'm praying that they will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus, he was born, he walked this earth, he died, and he rose again and sat at the right hand of you, Father God. And he did this for us, for the remission of our sins. And that now we could be in the kingdom. I'm praying that they want to walk through that door, Father God, and be a part of the family. And that the angels would rejoice because they have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And for some of those who, and I've been there myself, who have been the prodigal son, who have backslidden and missed it, I'm praying they come back into the fold. Because, Father God, this world creates a lot of illusions and causes us to be illusionists. But, Father God, you are genuine. You are authentic. You are real. And because of that, Father God, you're not like man who would lie. Father God, you're the one that's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This gives us the ability to not cast away our confidence. Because in you, God, there's great recompense of reward. I pray, Father God, that they come back. And like the prodigal son, you will have your arms open like the father would do. And be able, Father God, to bless them in ways they never knew. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for this. And I pray for anyone and everyone, Father God, that the 8.7 billion people in this world, Father God, you said you wish that none should perish. But, Father God, that we all would be able to experience everlasting life. I'm praying for them. And, Father God, I'm praying for the needs of the people, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, relational, all the needs. You know specifically what they need. You know specifically their wants and desires. Pray, Father God, in both these categories, that in the name of Jesus, that their desires and wants and their needs align with your word, and so they will receive your benefits. What are your benefits, Father God? You forgive us of our inequities. You crown us with your loving, kind, and tender mercy. You heal all thy diseases. And you satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. I thank you, Father God, that they receive these rewards and experience your abundance that you give, that you promised when you said, when the thief tried to come, steal, kill, and destroy, you would give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So I pray for them, Father God. And as I go forward, Father God, what you've given me today through the Holy Spirit, let me deliver it with accuracy, Father God. Let me decrease and the Holy Spirit increase, that these words that go forth will not return void, but accomplish that's what has been said, and it will fall into the good soil and produce the 40, 60, 100-fold return, Father God, in you, and let you get all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, as always, I like to share a few thoughts from some, I like to call some wise people who have been given the opportunity to share their knowledge and wisdom. Let me share what Iris Murdoch says. She says, we can only learn to love by loving. Marianne Williamson says, love is what we were born with. Fear is what we learn here. Edwin Ebenezer says, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and to be loved in return. And Nelson Mandela said, no one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn hate. And if they can learn to hate, hallelujah, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than it is opposite. And the scripture tells us, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Ephesians 3:19-20. Dear friends, since God loves us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. 1 John 4:11-12. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor death, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be ever able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38-39. But I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. Psalm 52:8. But God showed us his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still yet sinners. Romans 5:8. The power of love. The power of love. The power of love. It is so magnificent, so magnificent. But it's a struggle to really grasp the meaning of it. And we'll get more into that. But let me share a few stories with you. This is in relation to people learning how to love themselves. How to learn love themselves. Danielle, out of Canada, she's just 17 years old. She said, I learned to love myself when I came to realize, sadly, only a year ago, that no matter what happened in life, the only person that will be there for me is me. So I had to get to know her better. And to be honest, I'm still getting to know her, which is me, which is herself. But thus far, she's pretty cute, cool human being. That's a 17-year-old. Young but discovering. And this is what we have to look at. What are we discovering? Just Nana, out of Poland, 19, says, I realize how important it is to learn to love myself when I noticed how hateful my comments towards myself were. Hallelujah. How my advice to someone else or a similar issue was so different from the way I talked to myself. Self-talk, right? I realized I don't treat myself like a friend would. Instead, I'm my own bully. And that sparked a call for action. That she was her own bully. See, we're notorious for talking and helping other people. But when it comes to self-talk, what are we saying to ourselves? Well, just Nada said that she was bullying herself. Nicole out of Louisiana, who's 34, she said, I realized how important self-love is while I was working on my PhD. Up to that point, I've been only basing my self-love on achievement. She thought getting her PhD showed that she loved herself. And she says, as I hit roadblocks in my challenging graduating program, I noticed my self-love wavering and wandering. I get frustrated with myself. I felt the need to prove myself to others. I place my joy and value on external things. We know this could happen because Jesus was bombarded by Satan in the wilderness about what he would give him externally. She said, I knew deep down that this wasn't healthy. So she said she visited a therapist, which she highly recommends, and she got to the bottom of it and was placed on a different direction on how to love herself more in a more healthy way. And then Eileen out of Brazil says, she's 23, when I started to go to therapy, I could get to know myself better and understand the cause of my quality defaults and insecurities. I began to treat myself gently with love, the power of love. And then I'm going to share with you a little more seasoned individual out of California, stateside. When I was a teenager, I finally was given my own room. There I could decorate, arrange furniture, play music, please myself, and escape from whatever chaos was presented in the rest of the household with my family. I had a favorite picture on my wall, and every year on my birthday, I would write myself a letter and hide it behind the picture until the next birthday. It was like opening a special present to myself. I could see how I had grown over the past years and how many goals I had achieved. I had learned that it was okay to take care of me and that I would be a better daughter, sister, friend because of this. What's the moral of the story? As I went through the various stories from different people, ages, and locations, we can see a theme here. Many people with loving struggle with loving themselves. And in turn, and it turns out that their challenges, they are challenged in every area of their life. And they struggle with these challenges with the lack of ability to be able to love themselves and others. But the Word of God tells us that loving oneself isn't wrong. As a matter of fact, it's a part of one of the greatest and last commandments that Jesus left with us. You see, Matthew 22:34-40 says, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love thy Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And second is likened unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all law and the prophets. Then 1 John 4:7-8 said, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves or has been born of God knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And John 4:7-12 shows us that the relationship, what he's telling us, the relationship between God and others is so significant. We discover that love isn't mainly addressing just the fact of loving God, which is the most important, but he extends it out for us too. God is the source from which all genuine love comes from. God loves us enough to sacrifice his son, despite the fact that mankind did not merit it. That leads me into my show. This is going to be a short one, if you will. However, we're going to extend on this, and I figured this might be two or three series because I'm really going to do some digging. The show title is Learning How to Love. Learning how to love would seem like a simple enough thought to make and to execute. However, I was on a podcast with my host on the topic of the five love languages. For many, it seemed like it was a new thing. Some people had never heard it before. I was even talking to a friend of mine who was a monk, and she said, I never heard of it. And since it's the big buzz subject, I was shocked that in the spiritual circle that this topic of love, or if you will, the five love languages, was not heard. It's been around for years. But yet we seem to have picked up on this. Well, for many, they had never heard it. In our world today, many people really believe they understand love, how to love, how to show love, how to receive love, and how to be loved. Yet if this was true, then the 600 stories from around the world that I discovered would put a question mark on this above statement. As I was praying this morning, this topic wouldn't go away. I pondered on other subjects, but this one stood out. Learning how to love. I guess you could say it hit me because the more I heard my host and the other co-host talk, which was his wife, talk about the subject, I couldn't get it out of my head. How little we really understood love. How really little we understood love. Now, I am sure without a doubt many of you would say, I understand love. I know what it means, and I know how to display it. And I would have to say that you're right. But somewhere along the line, there are still many who don't. And even for us who think we have a clue on it, we're still missing something. See, I would go as far as to say many do not have the clue because it's based on the carnal concept of love and not the godly love that God speaks of when he tells us the first to love him and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. As I continue to try to understand this commandment, I come to realize that since loving oneself is more complicated than one may consider. More complicated. We use that word so frivolously that we just toss it around to and fro without any real depthness to it. Therefore, this series we're going to go is going to try to help us discover the most appropriate way, not the right way, if you will, to love God, ourselves, and neighbors in a way that we please God, ourselves, and others. Why did I say not the right way? Because what's right for you may not be right for me. But what is appropriate based on the word of God? What is appropriate? Then, if you want to use the word right, it'll be right because we're not basing it on our own personal definition, if you will, but we're basing it on the foundation of God's word. But let me start how I got going with this based on Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. And what are they? And I've spoken about them before in many of my shows because I think they're relevant. I really do think they're relevant. Words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. And when I was having the conversation with my co-host and the host, and they asked me what mine was, I said it was, I really don't have a priority, but since I had to give an answer, I said probably quality time. Because I felt like if I gave you quality time, more than likely I'm going to give you words of affirmation. And I'm going to render acts of service. I'm going to give gifts, and there will be some physical connection at some point. And we're not talking about the physical touch of sexual activity, but just that physical connection, like a mother that gives a hug to a son, like a father that puts his arm around his son after he lost the football game, some connection. But you got to put the time in. And see, I'm all about that. If I'm with anybody, I cut my phone off. Not that I'm saying anybody keeps it at home. It's cool. Unless there's an emergency, I'm expecting an emergency call, that phone is off. Because whoever I spend time with, male or female, they have my undivided attention. There's a focus. It's about being with them to know them, not to be with them so I know me. Oh, they may want to know me. But it's about giving that quality time to them. And so then I would know what words to say to give them that affirmation, that positive affirmation to uplift them, motivate them, encourage them. I would know when they need me to serve them. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. I remember, and I think I brought this up at another time, about the husband who graduated and the wife was serving him. And then when he graduated, he began to serve her. And my philosophy has always been about service was, if I wake up thinking about what I can do for you and you wake up thinking about what you could do for me, there's only one thing that can happen, and that is two people are recipients. They're receiving. But if you wake up saying, what can you do for me? And I'll say, what have you done for me lately? You got a giver and a taker. And a giver and a taker is nothing but tug of war. See, I think, this is according to me, I think, again, we miss something when it comes down to this ideal of love. See, Jesus didn't come here to say, okay, I'm Jesus. I'm the divine one. Y'all take care of me. Let me show you my power, and after I show you my power, now y'all need to bow down and worship me because I'm all that. Jesus didn't do that. He bowed down and washed Peter and them feet. Acts of service. That was a gift. He came to give himself as a gift. He laid hands on people, physical touch, and he inspired them and lifted them and helped them to feel who they could be. Not where they were, with words of affirmation. And he spent quality time. What's that quality time? He spent 3.5 years with his disciples. Quality time. But again, what is this five loves you say to me? I see this common theme as I understand it. It's the outward expression of showing one's inward, which is you, your value towards someone else, showing them how much you value them. You're showing it. What's inside you, you're showing it through outward expression. So what I mean, many times we can assume a few things about ourselves and others as we relate to understanding love, expressing love, and receiving love from our own mindset. But when closely examined, we miss the bullseye by a long shot. Why? Because no one really talks about love directly to the point it looks like someone, your school teacher, teaching you math, reading, English, and history. Math, reading, and history. Do you recall that period? What am I saying here? I'm saying that there was a primary objective. Our teachers wanted us to know, understand, and execute these topics with a clarity that others would know that we understood them and able to explain them, do them, and even teach them in the future in order to succeed as we navigate through our life. But who took that time to teach us love? The most important subject of the world, which is love, is taught very little. No one sat down and really talked about it. See, Romans tells us in 10:14, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, I know a preacher is a servant of the Lord who is accountable to the Lord, entrusted to do the Lord's work, in order that he or she may please God who has been chosen him to be a soldier. You see, 1 Timothy 4:6 says, everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's to receive with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And if you point these things out to our brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Here's the key. Nourishing on truth of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. However, I want to point out this from the scripture. We should nourish on the truth of faith and of the good teaching that we've been following. The key word is good teaching. Which one of us can say someone sat down with us in the past and really taken the time to teach you or me about love? Now, I know there's exception to the rules, but I mean, for the most part, when I was growing up, no one really talked to us about love of oneself, others, and God in a way like it was learning those primary subjects that we learn in school. No one took that time. So most of us have gotten the understanding of love vicariously through observation. Our parents show love. I made an effort today to talk to some people before I finished up my message here about, did someone sit down with you and talk to you about the meaning of love, how to show love, how to understand love, how to walk in love, how to love God, how to love yourself, how to love others? And you would be able to articulate it just like if you were taught by your math teacher, your science teacher, your history teacher, or your English teacher. I've talked to many people, and I said, well, you know, someone tell me I love you. I said, well, tell me what that means. And they're hemming and humming. I've been married. I say, you tell me you love me, tell me what it means. So I don't tell no words that I don't know what it means. Tell me what it means, and hemming and humming. A very general perspective. That don't mean that it's wrong. But I could tell by the deliverance that if I was talking to Jesus, if I was talking to Paul, if I was talking to Peter, they got a clarity on love. See, not only because they were taught it by Jesus, but they saw it through Jesus. They were taught it in a way that they understood it. And you know, I noticed, now, I'm not the scholar of scholars here, so I don't know, but when I read, as I read through the Old Testament, there was not even a clarity to the meaning of love until it came to the New Testament, and God gave it to the man who had thought he loved God but was persecuting his children. He gave him the clarity of it. But again, who sat down with us and talked about it? How many couples have lived 40, 50 years together and didn't even know the meaning of love from their partner? Because they just go through the motion. They're doing the outward expression. And as one of my hosts said, I was only doing two, gifts and physical touch, of the outward expression of what he assumed he was showing, he felt for someone else as he valued them. So who really gives us that clarity? Who takes that time? So as again, this is from my perspective, but I like to coordinate it with the word. And that's what we're going to do. But I have a few questions you can ponder over that we'll pick up next week. Who taught you about love? Where did you first hear about love? What message did you get from others about love? What message did you get from your peers about love? What message did you get from your family about love? What message did you get from your school about love? And what message did you get from your church about love? And here's the kicker. Did you really understand the meaning? Or did you do your own research about love? So I've talked about love a lot. And to me, it's the most important thing I can entertain throughout the Bible, outside of the fact that the prayer of salvation and coming into the fold of the kingdom of God. But these questions I propose, and I'll repeat them. Who taught you about love? Where did you hear about love? What message did you get from others about love? What message did you get from your peers about love? What message did you get from your family about love? What message did you get from your school about love? What message did you get from your church? And did you really understand the meaning? And did you do your due diligence, study so that you approve to rightly divide the word of truth, that you be a word and need not be ashamed, but you can rightly divide the truth and be complete? Did you do your due diligence on this subject? Did you so say that you feel or express to others? I stand here guilty myself of a good portion of this. You know, I just had half with meaning. But because the word has opened up my eyes to how powerful love is, I thought I'd bring it to your attention. Now, some of these questions I loaded, I get it. You're going to have to dig deep. If this takes an interest to you, you have to dig deep to get some clarity on the definition of these questions or the meaning of these questions that I propose. You got to get out your comfort zone. You see, because God tells us from 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is slow to get angry, it keeps no record of wrong, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, it always builds trust, it always creates hope, and it always preserves. Love never fails. Now, that's a nice way of putting it, right? Nice package. But again, as I was telling my church members or my prayer group, that these words, these scriptures, these things we get from God's word, we need to get the power from it. They cannot be nice, flowery words. We need to get the power. It's just like, again, when you go in there and you get a drill. If that drill has not been charged up, it can't do its job. So you have to charge it. You want to get the power from that charger. We need to get the power of what God's word is about. Because then we're going to be able to truly understand the meaning. And I was talking to the elder today as she was speaking, and she said, I pray that things will change in this world and there would be this, this, this. And I said, well, you know, truthfully, nothing's going to change in the sense that it's going to get better by the outward behavior of human beings until we can line it up with God's word and show each other love. But even that is not going to change the progression of what's happening now. It's time, if you will, I don't have the ability to predict, but everybody I hear say this is the latter days. But I think they said that 2,000 years ago. But we can see human behavior hasn't changed in the sense of the major categories of human behavior and what we see displayed today. They were doing it back then. But what was missing? The essence, the power of love. So I can imagine why Jesus said before he left, what was so most important? The last commandment. Love God with all your mind, heart, and soul. And second to that is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Love, love, love. For the most part, we display these attributes and actions. We should see a difference in the world, but we don't. Most of this fall by the wayside in relationships, families, marriages, interacting with others on the street, our job. What is missing? The key element is love. So, again, how can we exercise such behaviors, emotions, or spiritual without appropriate understanding of the meaning and how we should carry out such actions to truly love God, ourselves, and others as Jesus commanded us to do? You see, the scripture tells us in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Ephesians 5:20 tells us, submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Submit. Submit. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Again, the most powerful word you can come up with. And in 1 Corinthians, the latter of the three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Yet doing each and above these scriptures tells us that we have challenges facing us unless we learn to understand what love is about. Jesus taught his disciples to love self and others. Jesus showed throughout the scripture the meaning of love, the power of love, the purpose of love. Most of the time our love centers on self-love. That's about self-seeking behavior, personal gratification, and even when we show it, is it really from the heart? This is why God searched the heart and examined the mind, because we can be great illusionists to make the world believe we understand love and want to show love. But really? You see, Jeremiah 17:10 say, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. God looks into the heart. When I pray, I say, Lord, put the floodlight on my heart. Because I know what my flesh craves to do, but I want to fall in line with God's will. That's what I want to do. I want to strive towards the mark of perfection. We were talking about the understanding the power of forgiveness and forgiving of self. Part of that self-love is forgiveness of self. Too many people don't forgive themselves. But see, I'm reminded as I present it, to the elder said that people always watch you, see how you respond to things. And so I mentioned the fact that there were two people in the Bible, one Judas Iscariot and the other Peter. They both had fallen short. And here's the kicker. They were forewarned what they were going to do by Jesus himself. They didn't have to go read the Bible. The Bible was standing right with them. And he told them, this is what you're going to do. You're going to deny me and you're going to betray me. And in the end, self-love, the appropriate self-love, one took his life. Because Satan wants to kill, steal, destroy. So he made him feel so condemned. And Jesus, with his open arms, just like the father to the prodigal son, would have took him back in. See, he knew what he was going to do. But that self-love was missing. Pride got in the way. The ego got in the way. The me got in the way. But Peter understood something different. Yes, he went away for a minute and probably was guilt-ridden and beat down. I get it. Anytime I fall short, I get beat down. The tears roll down my eyes. I failed you again. I denied you again, God. I made a decision to do this. Help me. I reach out my hands like Peter did through the water. Help me. I'm drowning. I'm not ashamed to call my God. And like Peter, Jesus reached his hand and pulled him out the water. Like Peter, Jesus embraced Peter again, that he could move from being Simon to Peter the rock. We have to turn to God to know how to love. So therefore, for us to really display the five languages of walk in love the way God wants us to do, we need to understand the process. So next week, we're going to dig deeper. Yeah, we're going deep into the subject and its meaning and the variations of love and how to truly understand love. Why? Because Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. But therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We want to get understanding. As Jerry Butler used to say, ain't understanding much. It mellows it out. It takes the confusion out of the situation. So we want to get this. So the latter part of my show is always the soldier's perspective. And here's where I'm at. When we learn to love, when we learn to love, our lives will take a different twist because we can relate to one another in these ways once love is truly created. And we really understand it. More love, more joy, more peace. We can exercise more patience. We can be gentler and kinder. We can be more meeker. We can be more holy. We can truly be more obedient because we want to please our God and we can execute more virtue. However, until we truly develop a vested interest in truly understanding how to love, as if we were studying those primary subjects that we learn in school, we will always be like the wandering tumbleweed, picking up unnecessary, going to and fro, instead of being a meaningful Pacific who knows the meaning of love, constantly developing in love, and always exercising what God commanded us to do with love, which is to love God with all our mind, heart, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. See, remember, God loved us so much that he was sent his only begotten son. Why? Because he said in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. But if you don't know God, you don't know love. So it's important that if you haven't, it's so important to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth. Be not ashamed. Believe in your heart that God died for you for your sins. And then when you accept him to your heart, old things will be passed away, and now you become new. And this is where the work begins, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, where God can create you a clean heart and renew the right spirit in you. And once that spirit is growing in you, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you and quickens your mortal body, changes you. You begin to truly walk in that spiritual maturity and understand the depthness and the power of love. Thank you for taking a pause for the calls out of your day to listen to what the Holy Spirit has given me to say. But in all ways, there are many, many dynamic deliverers for God, servants of God, soldiers for God who will be speaking with throughout the process of Kingdom Dental Development Institute and what we have to offer. So, but if you have a prayer request, you want to speak to someone specifically, you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact the home office at 313-583-9739. And you can sow it to the ministry at www.givelify.com. That's GIVELIFY.com. It is so important for us to learn this last commandment and what he meant by love. I think, from a personal standpoint, as I'm growing to understand love, I think it could be the life-changing elements that will turn our whole life around, even how we see the world, how we interact with the world, and how we love the world. But in the meantime, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's see the power of God's love and what he will do. You have a wonderful, amazing week. We'll see you next week. God bless.
If you want to know just how I got here, it's so easy to explain. It was God's grace.
God's
grace. It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
I made it this far.
I made it this far.
By the grace. How you brought me, how you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me and you never left me. You stood by my side. There were so many times when I came so close. Oh man, death, he tried to take me in. So the reason I'm here is not hard for me to see. In fact, it's so easy for me to explain. It was God's grace.